Guess what, you guys? I'm back. Joe Clossy back from back surgery 10 days ago. Not even. Feeling really strong, feeling really good. Special shout out to Santa Monica Spine Specialty for making this episode possible. That said, welcome back to the viewers. My name is Joe Clossy. I am the host of the Traveling Principal Show, here to guide you through the ever-evolving landscape of education, as always, navigating education one journey at a time. So, we're gonna this week talk a little more about this hot button topic of using data because it's all over the web. It's trending in specific areas that I've been reading about online. I want to combine it with another one that I've been seeing in schools. And see if we can take data and management of routines, combine them together here, and figure out not only what we could do with both, but also hear what you guys think of both because it's hilarious. So, without further ado, let's get in it. Welcome back, Season 5, Episode 5, Traveling Principal. Okay, you guys, so data. It's at the core of modern teaching, so therefore, nonetheless, a hot button. Issue. It's everywhere though, from our lesson plans to our PD sessions, hopefully. But is it really working for us in the ways that we hope it will? So let's explore and try to make it easy for educators to do this because I've been really thinking about this and I do feel like I found a loophole that maybe we can exploit. And so that said, here's where I'm coming from. So to start off, here's the pulse of what I'm reading online, as well as what I'm coming across in actual conversations with some staff. So, in an interesting conversation I found on Reddit recently, where teachers were sharing their thoughts, on using data in the classroom, responses were as diverse as the classrooms they came from. Some were frustrated. Saying things like data doesn't change how I teach, quote unquote, it just gives me more paperwork, which I think is fun. Others shared that they found data insightful, but also felt overwhelmed by the sheer volume of what they were given. And so I think this is a sentiment that we can all relate to on some sort of level, correct? And so more specifically, what I'm referring to is my travel principal tag on Reddit. In my search, I went to r/principals, a survey asking educators to assess their pulse of data usage is something that I had posted up. And let me tell you, the results were overwhelmingly that teachers didn't feel like they had enough time. When they did have time, they didn't know what to do with the data given to them. After some major venting, because it went back and forth a few times, a person had said that they would at least like a day to review the data in the morning teams, then determine patterns and findings by lunch. The afternoon is dedicated to catering instruction accordingly, and that was a 180 that I definitely did not see coming, and gives me a lot of hope. Because that teacher was negative about data right out of the gate. I had to prompt with questions like, what does it look like? When are you given time to do it, et cetera, knowing kind of like front loading, assuming that they weren't given anything that was adequate. So that being said, this conversation got me thinking because if I was able to get that 180 out of somebody I don't know, online. Are we as educators leveraging data in a way that genuinely benefits our teaching? Or are we just checking boxes? Because if we took an extra step with that person, heard them out, organized accordingly, went to that plan and tried it, who wins? Everybody, man. Check your boxes. So let's dig right into that with checking boxes, because when used effectively, data is a powerful tool, you guys. I know you know this. It helps us identify student needs, measure progress, and personalize instruction. But here's the kicker. Data alone isn't the magic solution. And according to an article that I came across on the Hechinger Report, data is only useful if it leads to meaningful action in the classroom. I'll put the report in the link. It's a bit like baking a cake with just flour. You need all the other ingredients. You need to know how to mix them, follow the recipe. Same goes for data. Without a clear strategy, it just doesn't make the impact that we want. But it does check the boxes. And so here's the flip side. Some educators feel that an over-reliance on data can actually limit flexibility. This perspective, supported by research from Frontiers in Education, data that suggests data-driven practices can sometimes lead us to focus too much on numbers, potentially missing out on the holistic development of our students. Data should be one tool in our toolbox, not the whole toolkit. So, how do we strike that balance? It's about blending the data with professional judgment, using it to inform decisions, not dictate them, and think of data as your co-pilot, not the autopilot, right? And so somewhere in there, I do believe, is a recipe for success with regards to how to fuse data into our regular practice, but there's one missing ingredient. Here's what I think is missing. And again, this is from what I'm reading, from what I've seen, from my own experiences in schools currently, as well as the collection of years. So here it is. Data given to teachers is usually summative assessment data or patterns of data sets on grade level, district level, school level, often by subgroups. And this throws everyone off immediately. I get it, that's what it's supposed to be used for. But if you allow teachers to select the data relevant to their inquiry, I highly doubt they would ask for CASP results. They may ask for passing percentages, but they'll be bringing their grade books and coming with oral feedback that will resound instead of district-processed summative reflections and patterns. No teacher cares more about the bigger picture data than that of their own classroom data. And there's a root, you know, when you're thinking about it, of the discrepancy as to why, I guess, it's not used, and when it is, it's not done effectively. Right? Think about that for a second. The actual data that is given to schools, that is given then to teachers. Change the data you ask them to use and watch how well it informs instruction. Allow them to bring it in. All right. Let's talk about how effective classroom management supports all of this and how we're going to fuse both together, because at the end of the day, you can have the best data in the world, but if your classroom management isn't conducive to learning, it's going to be a challenge. The data will change. A structured, supportive environment is the foundation that allows data-driven strategies to flourish. So, what does that look like? It's all about routines, you guys. Setting clear expectations, establishing positive relationships. Think about strategies like setting up a calm entry routine, or using positive reinforcement to keep students engaged, right? These techniques aren't just about behavior. They're about creating a space where learning can thrive. Let's kind of look at both really quickly. A calm entry routine. Students are coming in. There's already something set for them. The transition is easy. It's not chaotic. It's not undetermined, right? It becomes a part of a routine that really begins to create an environment conducive to learning. Also, positive reinforcement in keeping students engaged is as simple as the perspective switch when thinking about enforcing school rules. So you could have no this, no that, let's say no talking, like you're notoriously number one. No, don't talk unless you're supposed to, or something along those lines. Why not? What are we looking for? Are we looking to create a respectful environment when others are speaking? We will have to teach what that looks like, instead of just holding accountable for what it doesn't, right? That's what we're talking about here. And these techniques, they're really successful when creating a space where students can thrive. When students feel supported and safe, they're more open to intervention, let's say, and adjustments that data-driven instruction often requires. You know what I mean? So I want you to start to think about how a combination between, what you're being told to do and how you're going to incorporate that is easiest done when a smooth routine is already in place and management is under control to the point where you can make these shifts and it doesn't rock the boat enough to where transitions to something so new creates chaos, let's say. So there's that. So there you have it. Data is important, but it's not the whole picture. And I have heard what you guys are saying online. I'm hopeful that administration and leadership is listening so they could start to inform their own practice. Because if we are going to give data to staff, we want to make sure that it's relevant and useful. Because if we're going to get them into that habit of being able to use it, it's got to be worth their while. Otherwise, it's just another thing. So, yeah, try to make it relevant to teachers by also balancing data with their insights and maintaining a solid foundation in classroom management. We can create a learning environment where every student has the opportunity to succeed. It's really setting them up for success. And so, thanks for tuning in today. As always, if you have any thoughts or questions, you know where to find me. Travelprincipal.com is my website. You can email me at joe@travelprincipal.com. Until next time, keep traveling and keep learning. Let me know if I can help you guys.